Turks, Kyrgyz, Kazakhs, all of whom now have their own nations, are Muslims, and do not cherish memories of rule by Christian czars and Soviet commissars. In the Velvet Divorce of January 1, 1993, Czechs and Slovaks went their separate ways. Yugoslavia disintegrated into six nations: Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, Macedonia, Montenegro. A seventh, Kosovo, is about to be born. Ethnicity, religion, and history were the reefs on which Yugoslavia was battered and broke apart. Slovenes had belonged to the Habsburg Empire, not the Ottoman. Muslims are dominant in Bosnia. Orthodox Serbs and Catholic Croats have horrible memories of mutual slaughter in World War II. Kosovo is to Serbs what Jerusalem is to Jews, but the province is now 90% Albanian and Muslim. The Orthodox churches and convents of Kosovo have been vandalized and destroyed. Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia, it is said, were artificial nations created by the treaties of Versailles and Saint-Germain in 1919. And the Soviet Union was but the Russian Empire reconstituted by the Red Army, the KGB, the Communist Party, and Leninist ideology, not really a nation at all. The breakup of the USSR, Czechoslovakia, and Yugoslavia did not come, however, until after they embraced democracy. Communist rule kept them together. Indeed, it seems a truism to hold together a multi-ethnic or multilingual state, either an authoritarian regime or a dominant ethno-cultural core, is essential. The sudden disintegration of these three nations into 26 nations seemed to substantiate Strobe Talbot's prediction in his 1992 Time essay, "The Birth of the Global Nation." All countries are basically social arrangements, accommodations to changing circumstances. No matter how permanent and even sacred they may seem at any one time, in fact, they are all artificial and temporary. Within the next 100 years, nationhood as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority, a phrase briefly fashionable in the mid-20th century. Citizen of the world will have assumed real meaning at the end of the 21st century. Is the time of nations over? Is the nation-state passing away? Are the bonds that hold them together so flimsy? Since Talbot's essay, events have not contradicted him. In 2007, the Scottish National Party, which seeks to dissolve the Act of Union of 1707 and break free of England, displaced Labour as first party in the Scottish Parliament. Welsh separatists made gains in that same election. Like the Irish, the other Celts wish to be free of the English, who are themselves setting aside the Union Jack of the United Kingdom for the Red Cross of St. George. Londonistan is not the London of Victoria or Edward VII. With the empire gone, people are less proud to be Britons. In America, one sees a trend of British journalists quietly applying for U.S. citizenship for themselves and for their children. Catalans and Basques seek independence from Spain. Corsicans and Bretons want out of France. Belgium, in the fall of 2007, was on the verge of breakup into a Dutch-speaking Flanders in the north and a Francophone Wallonia in the south. The Lega Nord hopes to secede from Italy. Turks and Greeks have divided Cyprus. Only immigrants who prefer rule by Ottawa prevent the Quebecois from breaking free of Canada. Russia is bedeviled by new secessionist movements in Dagestan and Chechnya. Beyond the West, disintegration has not ceased since the old empires fell. Pakistan broke from India in 1947 over religion, and East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, seceded in 1971. A secessionist movement has arisen in the Balochistan region of Pakistan and Iran. Azeris, Kurds, and Arabs, too, chafe at domination by Persians, who are but half of Iran's population. Iraq is breaking apart into a Kurdish north, a Sunni west, and a Shia south. Two-thirds of all Christians have fled. Eritrea has broken away from Ethiopia. Lebanon is disintegrating.